Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How are you doing today? I am so excited. I am just so ready to get into the presence of God. The Word says that in His presence there is fullness of joy. And I think it was Moses that said, if your presence doesn't go, then I'm not going. Who has that tenacity in their spirit this morning? Amen. If your presence isn't there, then I'm not going. But we know that He inhabits the praises of His people. So how easy is it to get into the presence of God this morning? It's not hard. All we've got to do is celebrate. So I want you to lift up your hands right now, and I want you to start praising God for what He's done in your life this week. We all have at least one reason to praise God. Even if the only thing you can think of is the very breath in your body, praise Him for that and watch His presence flood your life. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank You that whenever we call on Your name, there You are. You said that if two or three would gather together and call upon Your name, that there You are in the middle of them. Well, we've got hundreds today praising Your name, so we know that You're going to come down and visit us today with Your holy presence. Lord, I thank You that we're not going to praise You based on our flesh or our emotions. We're going to praise You based on who You are. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are Jehovah Sidkenu, Lord. You are the Adonai. And Lord, we call upon that God right now. Miracles are going to take place today in this room. We're going to see people get set free in that tank in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Who's excited for baptism? Hallelujah. All right, let's praise God. Hang on, sometimes this happens. Give us grace. Hang on. Okay, ready? Hang on. Wait, no, don't clap now, because then it's going to start, and then it's not going to be on time, you know. Don't you thank God that He just picks us up where we fail? That's a reason to praise Him. All right. There we go.
Giving me life.
Spirit's giving me life, giving me life. He's giving me life, exceedingly life, abundantly overflowing, overwhelming, more than I could dream. You're giving me life. Come on, clap, clap. When I think of your goodness and your love, big kindness, and I know your grace is giving me life, giving me life. He's giving me life, exceedingly life, abundantly overflowing, overwhelming, more than I could dream. You're giving me life, exceedingly life, abundantly overflowing, overwhelming, more than I could dream. You're giving me life. I've got the best life now, living the blessed life now. I've got the best life now, oh, Jesus, I'm alive in you. I've got the best life now, living the blessed life now. I've got the best life now, oh, Jesus, I'm alive in you. I've got the best life now, living the blessed life. Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. Every war he wages, he will win. what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. The enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. The enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe, yes, we can see it, that wonders are still what you do. And bodies are still being raised. Giants are still being slain. God, we believe, yes, we can see it, that wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set our move. We need a move. God, we believe, yes, we can see it, that wonders are still what you do, and bodies are still being raised, giants are still being slain. God, we believe, yes, we can see it, that wonders miracles happen when you move.
Willing to trade you for just an experience of coming to a building. We want you. And God, our hearts are not going to be satisfied until we touch heaven. So Holy Spirit, always know you have free reign here. We are not going to trade you out to fill the house. Because if you're not here, it doesn't matter how many people are. What matters is that you're here and that you change us from the inside out. So we lay ourselves on the altar of God as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. And we declare that God, you are our King, you are our Lord, and we will seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Lord, we want you. Get near this Christmas season, we want you even more because we know you laid it all down just for us. So Jesus, hear our hearts. We want more. God, wouldn't it be cool if you just laid us all out on the floor? God, wouldn't it be cool if all of a sudden popping up with the miracles, creative miracles in this room in the name of Jesus? Father, wouldn't it be cool if your glory cloud literal visually showed itself? We all just stood back in awe of the God that we serve. I'm reminded, Lord, that when Moses was up on the mountain actually shook and the cloud and the glory of God, the presence of God was so strong. Lord, you did that back for them. But you have a new and a better covenant with better promises for us. God, we want more than what they had. God, we want to experience more than what they experienced. We want to see more than what they saw. He dipped himself 7 times. God, there are people in this room that need creative miracles, supernatural miracles, that only you can do. So Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, in the name that's above every single name of disease, in the name that's above every single name of sickness, in the name that's above every single name of trouble and trial and financial situation, even marital problems, I declare in the name of Jesus that miracles be released in the house this morning, that miracles be released on the live stream this morning, that miracles be released on the television today. I declare it in the name of Jesus. Miracles, miracles, God. Only you can get glory from the miracles. Show yourself majestic, King. Show yourself majestic, Father. We worship you. We worship you, Jesus. We declare that you are our King and our Lord. Jesus, you are the Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end. There is none like you. Jesus, you are not just our Savior, but our risen Master. And Holy Spirit, thank you so much for being in this room. We honor you today. We honor you today. Holy Spirit, can you make yourself more tangible? Even those who are doubters in the room, can you come on them this morning? Even those, Father, that have just, they're just here. Can you awaken them this morning, Holy Spirit, by touching them? You're the only one that can make a difference in our lives. So in Jesus' name. In the word, when Jesus in Mary's womb came in the presence of John the Baptist jumped in his mother's womb when the presence of the Lord was present. I pray that we'll start jumping in ourselves, that our spirit will not be allowed to be dead or cold or calloused. On the left side of your face, God is restoring you. In the name of Jesus. Somebody in your right foot, your second toe in from your baby toe, it actually, the pain goes all the way up to the bone, to the middle of your foot. In Jesus' name, we command reconstructive surgery by the Holy Spirit. Restore, renew. Someone's having, I want to say it's a pinched nerve on the left shoulder. Go like 3 inches down on the shoulder. That's above the shoulder blade. In Jesus' name. Father, we just want to say we love you. not sure what's going on, that's the presence of the Lord. And if nothing else, then you take your mind off the what your afternoon plans are and you put them on Christ. And you'll start to find the presence of God will increase in your life. Service, but you don't give the Holy Spirit the freedom to do whatever he wants in it, well, then you're not really having church. You just kind of have a service. Do you realize 2 seconds in the presence of God like this can transition your whole life? Or I could preach for 10 hours. I'd get tired. But boy, I tell you, 2 minutes in the presence of God, when you know how to draw from presence of the Lord. Whoop, there's the anointing right there. Go. Draw. Draw right now. Go on. Just sense it right there. Go. Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive. We receive. We receive. Come on. If you've got nothing else to say, then say, Jesus, I receive your presence right now. had to learn the hard way for many, many, since you were a child. Your brain is restructured and redone things. The Lord is saying he's restoring literally the physical mass, and you're not going to have to go around things any longer in Jesus' name. It's going to be an easy flow. What you struggle with will not be a struggle because God is restoring physically your brain. Recreative miracle. Now, if you're receiving these words of knowledge, now I don't just say these things just to say, boy, I hope it's somebody out there. If that's you, then you need to text us, email us, let us know, because we hear testimonies all the time of God moving like that. Oh, Holy Spirit just hit over on this side. Put your hands up right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit. Very discouraged, distraught even. You hold it together in front of people, but inside you're twisted. The Holy Spirit is untwisting you right now. That you rose again on the third day. Jesus, we honor you this morning. We honor you with our love. Our hearts are for you. Lord, there are many here that have divided hearts, and I pray in Jesus' name, even in the presence of the Lord, that you will confront them. God, you have greater things for them that they've surrendered because of the love of the world. Holy Spirit, I ask that you will help them lay that on the altar of God. Give them that grace, that power, that they will see that you can't give anything to God that he doesn't return far more. Love Jesus, just say, I love you. Come on, tell him right now. Come on, tell him right now. Don't tell me. Tell him. Talk to him. Amen. Isn't God good? I love his presence. On your way back to your chair, listen, we're not gonna do meet and greet this morning. We don't have time. We do have another service right after this. But if you can make your way back to your chair and just turn to somebody around you and say, I sure do love the Lord.
Love love you, Lord, too.
The daily. Man of God, I love you. I love you too. Father, I just
said. All right, family. How is that? Amazing, right? God is so good. As you're settling back into your seats, we just want to welcome you in the house today. We're excited that you're here with us. We want to welcome our Livestream family. Thank you so much for tuning in and watching. Listen, if you're watching Livestream and one of those miracles was for you, make sure you message in. We would love to hear that. It's a great testimony of God's faithfulness and goodness in our life. If this is your first time here and you haven't already gotten a guest packet, go ahead and wave your hand real high. I know we're still excited. We're still talking and saying hello to people. But if this is your first time here and you've not yet received a guest packet, go ahead and wave your arms high. We have a gift for you. We're excited that you're here with us today. Right after this, if you go right down this hallway over here, we have a guest reception. There's coffee, refreshments. We'd just love to get to know you a little more. We have a couple announcements for you. Number one, first and foremost, Christmas is next week. Our Christmas services, they're going to be powerful. We want to encourage you to invite your friends and family, 9 and 11 a.m. Also, we have a Bible college here called Remnant, and there's going to be a new semester starting January 6th. So if you feel called into the ministry, if you feel you want to further your education and knowledge of the Bible, then contact Dean Obina Ebo for more information on that. But the new semester will be starting January 6th. And we have video announcements for you.
What's up, guys? Are you looking to pack this Thursday with some fun? This Thursday at 6:30 at every campus, we're having an Upper Youth Christmas Party. There's going to be hot cocoa, games, a photo booth, and make sure you wear your ugly Christmas sweater. We can't wait to see you there. Bring a friend.
Hi, HT family. My name is Minister McKenzie, and I am here to invite you to our New Year's Eve celebration. So on December 31st at 6:30 p.m., Ithaca and Mansfield campus are going to come here to the Horseheads campus and celebrate our new year. We're going to celebrate everything that was accomplished over 2019, and we're going to find out what our theme is for 2020. So I will see you here. Child care is $5 at the door. Come get anointed, get fired up with the Word of God, and let's set goals for 2020 to accomplish. As the entire body of Christ.
All right, here we go. Next steps. Listen, we want you to grow, learn, you know, like that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You're reading my mind.
Good morning. Wasn't worship and baptisms phenomenal? I feel like we're a divided crowd right now. Weren't they amazing? Isn't God so good? Awesome. Man, can I tell you, it's just going to get better. And I'm really excited for next week. Before, like, we didn't say this, but next week is Christmas Sunday service. Which means, like, all of your friends and family members are probably going to say yes to coming to church. Which means they get to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So please, make sure we're after that this week. But they asked me to talk to you about the tithes and offerings today. And, man, people get weird about it, but I think it's such a great topic. Because if we can be successful in this topic, we can see so much forward progress in our personal lives and in the kingdom of God. Why is that, you say? Because even right now, we have families across our county who are looking for Christmas that can't afford it. Right now, there's people who are homeless. Right now, there's projects that we have in our church, like filling in the front foyer area. That way, we don't freeze to death in the mornings. Amen? And that's one of the things that our giving does, is it allows the church to be the church. This isn't about the church amassing amazing amounts of money. This is about the church doing ministry and being the hands of God in our community. And I want to encourage you to be a giver. I did a little research about people in the Bible who gave and thought that I'd share it with you. So did you know that Abraham gave? And I think Abraham's a pretty powerful guy to follow as an example, right? You know that Jacob gave? Like the guy who wrestled with an angel all night and said, bless me. He gave his tithes. You know that Levi tithed? You know that Hezekiah, this mighty king, and all of Israel tithed. Nehemiah, the man who rebuilt Jerusalem, the one who went in front of a king and he could have been killed, tithed. In the New Testament, the Bible says, Jesus actually said, he said, even the hypocrites tithe. Even the hypocrites tithe in the New Testament. And most importantly, in the New Testament, Christians tithe. Why do we give? Why do we tithe? Why do we give God and allocate 10% of what we made? Because God's house won't want when we give. Because material and spiritual blessings follow when we give. And because there's a blessing for obedience upon our life. And I want to encourage you to be a giver. Be like Abraham. Be like Jacob. Be like Levi. Even maybe you're sitting here saying, I don't really know. At least be like the hypocrite. And be a giver because there's a blessing inside of it. Not just for your life, but also for our community and our church. Amen? Amen. Today, we're going to take our tithe and offering. But before we do that, I want to remind you that next week, we're taking a happy birthday Jesus offering. Why? Because we give so many finances for people all over the place for in this season as gifts and as presents. And I want to give one that counts. And a lot of what we're doing right now is going to be going to filling in the front end. All of this offering is going to filling in the front end. So if you come in the mornings, you probably realized in the winter, it is frigid out there.
Show it up on top.
It is like 13 degrees. Apparently, we have something to show you about it. But it's like negative 38,000 degrees outside in the foyer. And it's not enjoyable to hang out there. It's hard to, I know most guests probably don't want to be out there. And we want to fill it in so it's more comfortable and more people can be impacted by the gospel. Amen? So next week, happy birthday, Jesus. And I thought we had pictures, but it's okay because there's some in the foyer.
There they are.
Oh, there they are. See how beautiful this is, guys? Look. Our addition comes with a Range, an Audi. I'm just playing. But it's an easy breezeway, and it's going to be great for this house, and I'm excited for it. So next week, we're going to do that. And that is out. I don't know about the sand. I actually hate sand. Gets everywhere. It's annoying. The beach is the worst place in the world. Fight me. Argue with me about it. But let's take our offering. Can you guys stand to your feet as we make our supernatural proclamation today as we give? Also, if you do not have a Happy Birthday Jesus envelope, when you come up and give, you can grab one from one of the ushers. So are we ready for our supernatural proclamation as we give today? Amen. Isaiah Smallwood is going to lead us in it today. Hey, come on, put your hands together. No, go ahead. She wants to go swimming in the pool. If I obey, I'm blessed going in.
And I'm blessed going out.
I'm blessed in my storehouse.
And I'm blessed in my basket.
And I'm blessed in my basket.
The blessings are chasing me down.
They're chasing me down.
They're tripping me up.
They're tripping me up.
Why, Pastor?
Because I am a child of God.
Because I'm a child of God.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Duet.
I'm blessed.
Go ahead and give your tithes and offerings.
Do we have all these ready for the people?
For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory.
Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Amen. I'm excited. It's been a phenomenal season, what God has been doing in all of our lives. As I said last week, next level is not a suggestion. It is actually a prophetic word from God for you and this entire body and actually the nation. As God's been speaking, I've already been talking with the bishop and talking with other pastors that I know across the nation, sharing with what 2020, God has already got a vision for, what he wants to do as for us as his body, but also in this world. And it's amazing to me, especially when you're talking to Bishop, and they already have the same theme. It's just different verbiage. It's the same thing that happened last year, and we're hearing all the way across the nation, where God is taking his church to a place and a position that is very important. And that is that we have all got to be in the flow of God. I don't know how many of you realize this or not, but there are many that stop the flow of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that? The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Ghost. What does it mean to grieve? Well, you know, if you've been in a position with people and all of a sudden someone goes off, and you can actually feel the atmosphere change. And many times in our lives, we grieve the Holy Spirit because we don't allow him to do in our lives what he desires to do to bring us to the place where he wants us to be. And this is where we have to make a decision. Am I really sold out to God, or do I just want enough to get to heaven? Am I really sold out to God, or do I just want enough to get to heaven? And you see, every one of us are going to have to ask ourselves that question. That's a real question. And this is a challenge with the body of Christ, because we have a lot of folks that don't want to know God because they've seen so many hypocrites within the church. Well, really, what is a hypocrite? Listen, there are always people that are going to struggle in life. Can I hear an amen? Can all the perfect people please stand up? Can all the imperfect people please stand up? We have some people that aren't sure. If you are imperfect, please stand to your feet. If you are imperfect, please stand to your feet. It's a good sign. The reason for this is because I want you to turn to someone and say, I'm a little messed up. Some of you already know that. You live with them. All right, that's not what we're talking about. You may be seated. Nobody's perfect. That's not what we're talking about. A hypocrite is not somebody who's not perfect. A hypocrite is somebody who says they are something that they're not. And I want you to know that we all have issues. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Amen. But what changes us is when we make a decision that I'm going to lay myself on the altar of God and allow him to transform me. I'm going to allow my mind to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to allow the word of God to fix me from the inside out. That is not a person who's a hypocrite, even though they've got issues. That's a person who's willing to be changed. So I challenge you to change. Turn to someone and say, you got to change. Come on, tell somebody else, you got to change. Now, all of us in this year of 2019 are on different levels. How many of you know that? Not everybody's on the same level. We're all on different planes with God. Some of you have just started your adventure with Jesus. Some of you have been born again for 50 years and you're still starting your adventure with Jesus. Amen. Some of you have been 20 years in God and you're 20 years old in Jesus. Every one of us are maturing. We're maturating in our walk with God. In that, every level is different for every person. But the challenge is making sure that you don't compare yourself with anybody else. Because in your walk with God, as he starts to mature you and develop you, you're going to find that you're going to go yourself to a new level, but it might not be where somebody else is. Now, if you see yourself descend a level to hang out with somebody, you got yourself a problem. Can I hear an amen or oh my? The Bible makes a very clear statement that the reason that the Lord wants us to go to the next level is because he's got very great purpose for your life. And I found that many people wander in the body of Christ. In fact, many of you have been here for many years and still don't do anything for God. And I want to challenge you that you have a divine purpose. What does it mean, divine? Divine means it's a higher, it's a supernatural, it's a God-given. God has a design for your life. And when we don't grasp a hold of that, then we kind of meander on the planet and wonder why we're here. And I want you to know that you can make all the money that you can in this world. You can be a multimillionaire or you can live in a box. And it doesn't matter whatever paradigm that is. It doesn't matter if you're middle class, you live in a nice little home, you got a nice little car, you got a nice little family. If all of that happens, but you don't fulfill God's purpose for your life, then you've actually lost it all. How many of you know you can't stuff anything with you in the casket? Or if you do, you can't use it on the other side. So there's a need to know that while we're here for divine purpose. And this year, in the climax, as we're coming to that last portion of next level ministry, we have to remind ourselves that I'm here to do work on behalf of heaven. You see, that's why you're here, to do work on behalf of heaven. God said, I have chosen you, you have not chosen me, and I've ordained you. That means I've set you apart, and I've set you apart to do work for me. Here's the verse, ready? John chapter 15. And you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. What does that mean? That means that God has fruit for you to bear. That means God's got work for you to do. That means God's got a purpose for your life. It is not just coming to the building on a Sunday morning. It is not just you and I just wandering and making money, going to work on Monday morning. It's you and I have divine purpose on this planet. You have been fearfully and wonderfully made. Can I hear an amen? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says it this way. For we are his workmanship. Everybody say, I'm his workmanship. Now, what's interesting about workmanship is recognizing this. There has to be a creator for there to be something that's worked on. Now, when I was a child, When I was in high school, I shouldn't say a child, but I was in high school, I went to pottery class. My artistic skills are, yeah, they're probably more negative than they are anything. I mean, I have none. I'm not artistic in any way, shape, or form. I can draw you a person, but it's a stick figure. That's about the extent of my gift. So I got on this potter's wheel, and I was making my mother a creamer. You know, one of those creamer things for the table? And I started, and I got things worked up a little bit, and I pulled out some of the hard pieces, and I'm starting to put the water as I'm pushing, you know, and making it happen. And all of a sudden, it starts to rise, and then it starts to cave. So I caved it back in, and I started again. And the art teacher looked at me and says, "What are you trying to make it look like?" I said, "I don't know. It's a creamer thing. But what is it supposed to look like, Michael? I don't know." And all of a sudden, I built it up. It was about this high, and it had a little rim on it. And I looked over, and somebody had put a handle on there. So I, you know, put a handle on mine, and I knew it had to pour. So I put a little lip on it as it was collapsing, and I said, "That's it." Aren't you glad that my artistic skills aren't the same as God's? Amen. How many of you are glad that you are God's workmanship? Man, that God saw you before the world was ever called into existence. He knows how many hairs on your head or how few. Amen. If God needed you thinner, he'd have made you thin. Come on now. Come on, us that struggle at times. You look at these people that eat like 6,000 calories a day, and you just hate them. They've eaten four pieces of cake, and you eat one, and you gain 6 pounds. Whoosh. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? All by myself? And you say, "Why didn't God create me like that?" Because God didn't need you like that. God needed you exactly. Now, I have what's called a barrel body. No, that's my body form. It's a barrel, and my father gave this to me, genetically. And, you know, I have big ribs. They're way up here, big ribs, which means there's a lot more room for the stomach. And, you know, I don't have really strong pectoral muscles. Then I look at some of you. Some of you guys, you got big muscles. You go like this and you rip a shirt. You actually have pectoral muscles. I want some of those. I look at these guys, they drive down the driveway, they got this big, oh, come here, man. I got to show everybody your beard. Come here, come on. Look at that beard. Isn't that an amazing beard? Jesus.
He's weird.
No, really, I touch that beard every Sunday morning. It's sheer jealousy. But it's true. God didn't create, listen, I had one hair on my chest till I was 28 years old. And my wife would pull it and laugh, just like you did. That's sick. You're sick. She would pull it and laugh, and I'd say, "Why didn't God give me more hair?" God didn't give me more hair because he didn't create me like you. My wife took a photograph last night at the staff party, Christmas party. It was a mean picture. She took it from above. Now, I pay all of my barbers extra money to lie. But pictures don't lie. And my wife said, "We'll just buy you one of those spray things for your head." I said, "What? Where's Hair Club for Men? Amen." But if God needed me to have more hair, he'd have made me with more hair. If God needed me taller, He'd have made me taller. I get a little upset with him at times because my sons, they love nice shoes. I'm talking Pastor Cody. He is like the sneaker guy. And they wear size 12. I'm an 8.5 wide. I can't even steal their shoes. Something's wrong here. No, something's not wrong. Something's right here. Because each one of you and me, myself, and I have been created in the very image of God with a spirit and a soul and a body. And he has made you just as he needed you to fulfill the very purpose that he has inside of you. You see, that's the exciting part about knowing God, is that you're not a survivor. You're not just a thriver. You're a person of destiny and purpose and design that God foreordained before he ever even called anything in. He said, I'm going to make them exactly how I need them to fulfill the purpose that I have for them, that I have placed inside of them. That's the awesome part about our God. You are not an accident. Amen. Turn to someone and say, you are not an accident. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Turn to someone and say, you've been created for a reason. Do you realize that God never created us to be lazy? Anybody ever work with somebody that's lazy? Man, I tell you. Man, you want to love them with Jesus, all fivefold ministries. What's wrong with you, man? I don't need to do your work and my work. Say amen or oh my. Now, if that's you, you deserve our love. But I'm telling you, it's amazing when you get around people that are lazy. Because you realize that the work now, the workload has become harder on everybody around them. Because they have not been doing what they're called to do. You see, when you hire somebody, you give them a job description. With the job description, you give them a direction. With the direction, you have an expectation. With an expectation, there has to be a delivery. And yet there are not many. Come on now, we struggle with folks delivering, but yet God and in your life personally, God has created you with that divine purpose, and he's created you for good works in Christ. And when you and I are not doing our job, then what ends up happening is that we can't go to the next level. You're never going to get a raise from where you don't like to where you want to be if you're not faithful where you are. Amen. And that's the principle of God's kingdom, because without that working in our lives, then we might be his workmanship, but you're sitting on the workbench. And that's not God's plan for your life. Some of you have come to a stymie in your relationship with God. You've come to a halt in your relationship with God, and you've wondered why. I'm here to tell you why. Because you are his workmanship, created for good works in Christ. Now, what I love about this last portion, it says this. It said, prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God prepared you beforehand. That's why you're as tall as you are. That's why you talk the way you do. That's why you have the voice you have. That's why you have the gates you have. Now, how many of you love John Wayne? Some of you don't know who John Wayne is. Don't you love his gait? I mean, just how he walks is tough. What's that? You're over your head. How old are you? 19 years old. Let's all take a moment and just seek God for all 19-year-olds in Jesus' name. You see, Jesus understood that he was a man of purpose. This is where we all got to get a hold of this, and I just have a few minutes. Jesus, in John 1:1, he is the word that was from the beginning. So Jesus was always and always has been. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, they are three yet. Eternal. So God has always been God, and Jesus has always been Jesus, and Jesus has always been here. The Bible says that he was at creation. Without him, nothing could have been created. But yet there was something that happened in the Garden of Eden, that transition that transformed the world and how God's hunger was. You see, God wanted to create a family. God wanted to create a people that he could call his own. God wanted to create a kingdom that would run to where he would be a blesser and he would not have to in any way, shape, or form be one that would have to bring discipline. This was God's passion and God's hunger. And we know Adam and Eve messed that up. Can I hear an amen or oh mine? I know you've all heard the joke about Adam and Eve in the garden. They had been expelled, and Adam was working around the garden and with his boys. And the boys said, "Hey, Dad, you know, why don't we go in there? Look at how beautiful it is and how lush the trees are. Look at all the fruit on the trees." And Adam looked at his sons and says, "Sons, we just can't go there." So after a while working, one of the boys spoke up again and said, "Dad, I don't understand it. It's beautiful. We should just go there. We don't have to work as hard out here with all the dirt and with all the thorns and the thistles." "Son, I said we can't go there." A little bit of time goes by, and all of a sudden, we find one of the other boys nagging on his dad. Why? And he finally looked at his sons and says, "We can't go there because your mother ate us out of house and home." I'm sorry. Just couldn't turn it up. Here we are as believers, and we just know that something happened in the garden. The Bible says Eve was deceived, but Adam made a willful choice to rebel against God. And that's what, ladies, that was your spot right there. Amen. So here we are. We know that there was a breach and a breaking of relationship. But God had a plan, and I love this about our God. There is nothing that can happen in your life that God doesn't already know that's going to come down the pike. Bad or good. In fact, there are many bad things that should have happened in your life, and God thwarted them. We will never know till we get to eternity how many times we should have been dead. Amen. But sometimes we look at God and say, "Where are you?" And God said, "Listen, I protected you, man. You would have been dead. I was right there for you." And he said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you always to the end of the world." You see, God is faithful, but God is a forethinker, which means God had a plan. Before Adam and Eve ever did the high treason, before they ever rebelled against God, he had a plan for redemption, and his plan was his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know, according to the word of God in Matthew chapter 1, that Jesus, the Messiah of the world, was born of a woman named Mary, and she was a virgin. She was engaged to Joseph. Now, in those days, to be engaged was a year-long process where you were considered married with no sexual benefits. So there was this getting pregnant outside of marriage thing was a little very less acceptable. Amen. And so all of a sudden, Mary's pregnant. The Bible says the Holy Spirit came upon her and brought the eternal seed with the natural seed to create the God-man named Christ, the Messiah. According to Philippians chapter 2, he gave up all of his heavenly glory to come down here and be a man. He surrendered it all because he was born of a woman. He was born of flesh, but he came here with divine purpose and divine design. This is the awesome part about our God. We've got to know that he has design for us. We've got to know that he has purpose for us. We're not just sucking air trying to get by day. Some of you are stuck in the day-to-day living. And I'm telling you, if you don't start looking, you'll never see the vision. And if you don't see the vision, then you're going to get sucked into your day and you're going to get discouraged and disillusioned. And you've got to know that God is for you and not against you. He sees far more than you see, and he's never going to give up on you. You see, Jesus had choices to make. How many of you know we got choices to make? How many of you got up this morning? Choice. How many of you went to the bathroom in your pants? Don't raise your hand. Choice. How many of you know you could have gone to the bathroom in your pants today? Not in those purple chairs. It stains them. But it's true. Every one of us made decisions this morning, made choices this morning that literally started to determine your day. Without the right decisions, you'd still be in bed. And you'd mess your bed. You'd be hungry. Every every decision we make makes impact through the entirety of our life. And it was the same with Jesus Christ. Jesus had to come, even though God had a plan for him. Even though God's plan was to send the Messiah, born of a virgin, raised and birthed in a manger, raised by a mom and dad, dad being a carpenter, having brothers and sisters. Come on now, that would try to cause anybody to sin. But yet he was without sin, glory to God. And having this whole lifestyle, Jesus still had choices to make. And he had to make a choice. Do I choose to sin or do I choose not to sin? If Christ had chosen to sin, then he would not and could not be the Messiah. And even then, when it came time for the ministry, it had a choice to make. Will I choose to serve God? Will I choose to obey God? Will I choose to walk in my destiny? Will I choose to walk in my calling? Will I do and produce good works? Or will I just be somebody who chooses to live for themselves? And this is the challenge that we have in the kingdom of God. Listen, I'm going to talk to you about churches all over America. The churches of America are a mess. The majority of church people don't do anything for God. The majority of churches do nothing for God. As you can see, we are now closing 9,000 churches a year in America. Why is that? Is that God's plan? It's not God's plan. But what's happened is we have chosen as the body of Christ not to continue with our destiny and our purpose, for we are his workmanship. God designed us. He put us in this position. And let me tell you, he's a really good artist. And he created us with such gifts and talents and abilities that nobody else has. You have your own DNA. Nobody else on the planet has your DNA. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. But in that, we all have choices. And it's amazing as a pastor, we watch. Now, in the South, the church is different from the North. I don't know how many of you know that. If you've lived in the South, you know that. In the South, everybody goes to church. Everybody tithes. No, it's true. I'm not just making that. I'm serious. Everybody goes to church and everybody tithes. They've been to the bar that night. They had sex with four people. They don't even know their names. They were drunk. They come smelling like a brewery, but they're still going to church and they're still going to tithe. In the North, we're different. In the North, it's like, prove to me God's real and maybe I'll show up. Or, oh yeah, I guess I got to go. The kids are singing. In the North, it's a little bit different, but it all comes down to the same thing, the same bottom line. In the South, they have to make finally come to a dedication that my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price, and I can't live any way I want and say I love God. And in the North, we've just got to make a decision that if I'm going to the house of the Lord, that I'm not going to give him part of me. I'm going to give him all of me. I'm going to surrender all that I am, because who am I but who he created? Say amen or oh my. You see, Christ had this choice in the Garden of Gethsemane. You want to talk about stress? Has anybody ever had stress in your life? Here's stress. You know that they're going to take you, that they're going to beat you, that they're going to pull the hair out of your face so you're unrecognizable. They're going to spit on you. They're going to take a cat of nine tails and they're going to beat you so your bowels can be seen from the exterior. They're going to put a robe on you and rip it off. They're going to mock you. They're going to make fun of you, and all of that knowing that you have at any second the ability to say, I'm out. Here he is in the garden. The Bible says the stress was so intense that he was literally dripping beads of blood. That's stress. And he said this, Father, if there's any other way out of this thing, I want to take that if I can. But not my will, but your will. Christ had the same choice that we have. That's why he's our greatest example. We have to make decisions. Is my life my own? Is it survivable? Is it something that I'm just trying to make myself? Or am I truly going to say, God, not what I want, but what you want? Well, I don't like that. Who cares what you like? Oh, I'm sorry. That's undemocratic. You see, we've got to this mindset where we think that we can tell God what we're going to let him do in our lives. And the fact is, we can. The problem with that great gift he's given us, it means that he steps back. It's your life, not mine. Your control, not me. And then isn't it amazing? We sin knowing we're sinning. We actually try to talk ourselves out of it. Well, it's not sin to have sex before marriage. Well, it's not sin to go get drunk. Well, it's not sin to live the old way I used to live. We convince ourselves. We convince ourselves it's not sin. But we know it's sin because the Holy Spirit convicts us within. But then when something starts to happen bad because of it, we get mad at God. Where are you, God? He said, where are you? God, where were you when this tragedy happened? God said, no. If you were in the right posture, you'd have had the faith to call those things which are not as though they already are. We get mad at God, and God is saying, no, don't get mad at me. I didn't do this. You're God. See, this is where Jesus had to come with a confrontation in his own life. Lord, it's not my will, but your will to be done. And he had to choose to say, God, whatever you want to do with me, however you want to make this happen, God, however this sacrifice has to occur, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. And man, I want you to realize that you have to come to that. Listen, I had to come to that, not as Pastor Spencer, not as Dr. Michael James Spencer. I had to come to that as Michael Spencer, and I had to make a decision. Let me tell you something. Pastoring is a very great, challenging aspect. Some of you are here, you're here for years, and then you disappear. You don't even say goodbye. You wouldn't do that to somebody at work. You come here and you start stabbing and being nasty. You got to villainize the preacher to leave the church. Listen, you don't got to villainize me to leave the church. Listen, if you're going to go to a place that's higher, I'm going to bless you on your way out. If you're not, I'm going to tell you you're wrong. But it's amazing to me how as a pastor, you know, I've had to, and my wife and I, we've had to come to this decision time after time. And some of you don't know this, but it was, oh my goodness, how many years ago when you had your job in Florida. We came to a decision, man, where we had this massive Judas kiss in our life. And I didn't know it, but my wife had already gotten a job in Florida. She had already found a place for us to live. I had no idea. Didn't sound like a bad idea. And a confrontation came. Not confrontation with her. Not confrontation with you. You didn't know. But a confrontation with the one who is the mastermind who created this workmanship. And we had to get back on the potter's wheel and say, what do you want? Well, I'm going to take this out. Yeah, that's right. That happened because you're this way, and I took it out this way. Couldn't you take it out another way? No, this way. See, you don't tell the mastermind how you want his workmen to be. He makes them himself. Can I hear an amen or oh my? And let me tell you something. I wanted to claim somebody else's work at that potter's class because some of those people were good. I want to say, yeah, that was mine. But I'm sorry, I didn't make that. I made my mom's part. Now, do you still have that, mother? She threw it away. Jeez. I have to contemplate life now. Jesus didn't just make it out of the garden. Then he had to get on the tree. They beat him. They maimed him. They mocked him. They abused him. They lied about him. They did everything about him that they could. The devils were just sneering with laughter and joy. They felt that they had the one they called the Messiah on the tree to die and that he was now going to lose his destiny. I want you to know that if you focus your eyes on Jesus, your destiny will never be lost. The devil's plans will never come to fruition. That God will bring you where you need to be. That God is able to do abundantly above all you can even ask or imagine. That you can't fail with God on your side. I want you to realize that. Jesus, the devil thought he won, but he didn't realize he was just going to kill himself. Amen. Jesus had a choice. As he's hanging on that tree and as his tongue dehydration comes upon you when you're being crucified, your tongue starts to swell. Your eyeballs start to dry out. The only way to get a breath is he had to push up off the nail, the 5-inch spike that was going through his heels, so he could exhale to get a new breath. The Bible says he could have called the legions from heaven to deliver him from that tree, and he could have, but the Word of God says that Jesus understood what this was all about. This was not about him. This was about you. Come on, turn to someone and say, this is about you. He said, I'm going to surrender. I'm giving it all up. God, not my will, but your will be done. Hebrews 12:2 says, I counted all joy when he went to the cross. John chapter 10, verse 18, no man took my life. I gave my life. Everything is about choice, my will or his will. Your next level is not determined by your circumstances, your problems, your scenarios, your environment, or the town you live in. Your destiny is all wrapped up in the choice of, God, do I actually give my life to you or just enough to get me through? Do I really want what God wants for my life? And some of you make conscious decisions not to. I'm talking like straight up. You don't go to church. You're living in sin. You're choosing not to grow. And you're sitting back and you're saying, I want the Lord. And that's why I don't let me sing either. I want the Lord. And God is saying, well, then lay that down. I want you almost, Lord. We've got to make choices. Everything about your life is a choice. Everything about my life is a choice. Had a hard choice this morning. I got this message when I was with Brother Ted. We were at the hotel, and I got this message, I think, on Thursday. And then the Lord started speaking to me about something else on Saturday. So I'm saying to myself, which, thank you. We need to practice. Ready? Which sermon do you want me to preach? You'll never find a more nervous preacher than when it comes time he stands up behind the pulpit and he has two. Wish I had a coin. I don't even have a coin. Pastor Andrea doesn't know, but in 7:15 prayer, she started praying, and the Holy Spirit said, I'm talking to you. That's the one I want. Oh, you preached this when you prayed this morning. You didn't know that. I recognized it. Phew. Or you'd been here twice the amount of time because I would have had to preach both sermons. My question to each one of us is this. What is your choice? Is this about you or about why? Because when you have you, that's cool. But without your why, you're lost. But if you have your why with your you, you can't fail. Why? What do you choose? As for me and my house, we choose to serve the Lord. And today, I just want to challenge you.
I had something for you, and you have it in your hands. It's called a covenant. I want you to write your 7 friends' names down who you're going to believe God for before you leave the sanctuary. I want you to leave this in your Bible or whatever you bring to church. While I'm ending this, I want to remind you that it's not about being spent, that it is about being spent and not about being saved. If you want to save your life, you must lose it. If you want to lose your life, you'll save it. You'll bow your heads with me this morning. I've gone late. I apologize. I'll just blame the Holy Spirit. But some of you have never given your heart to Jesus. You played religion for a long time. I'm not saying you're a bad person. I'm not saying you don't believe in God. But when it comes time for your Garden of Gethsemane, when it comes time to realize you're His workmanship, created for good works, you look at your life and, man, you're just surviving, man. And I'm not talking you're poor. I'm talking you're surviving because you're not even sure why you're breathing. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, today, if you're living in sin, today, if you know that if you died, you would not go to heaven because there is something between you and God, today is the day of salvation. This is the choice. This is the moment. This is the opportunity. This is when heaven opens up and says, I want you. Today, if you're not right with the Lord and you want to get right with God, I'm going to ask you to slide your hand up this morning. I'm not going to wait real long. But if you want to get right with God, I'm going to ask you to slide your hand up right now. Is there anyone in the room this morning you want to get right with God? Thank you, sir. You can put it right back down. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else this morning? Come on, I'm not going to wait long. Come on. Thank you very much, young lady. Anybody else? Come on, I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4. Come on, get your hand up. 3, 1, and 0. I guess for me, I have to ask myself why I do what I do. I ponder this. I only work 1 hour a week, or most people think. I ponder, why am I a preacher? Why do I stand up here every week? This is our 21st year. Why in Horseheads, New York? Why go through the trials and the tribulations? Why? I'll tell you why. 1, this is what I was created for. But 2, seeing you respond to God brings the greatest thrill of my life. Watching people literally grow in Christ changes my life. There is no greater sensation than watching somebody go from death to life, but then not just death to life, but then grow in life. There's nothing better. I have to know my whys too. Boy, I tell you, I've had some chunks of clay that aren't pretty. I think He's taken me off the wheel a few times. Mixed me with a little water and threw me back down, and I splatted when I hit. But hear this verse, you ready? He who has begun a good work in me shall complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. As long as I stay on the wheel. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. I figure I've gone this late, which means that we're going to have collisions in the parking lot. Please don't hit anybody on your way out.
My heart is to see you aspiring, God. My heart is to see you grow in Christ. My heart is not to see you just get to heaven. That's not what you've been made for. You've been made for good works. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing for Christ that will last? What are you doing for Christ that when everything is said and done, He'll say, well done. Well done. That's what I made you for. Good job. Yes, you did it. I just refuse to have regret. I don't know about you. He's the kind of guy you don't want to stand and have regret with. Because the excuses don't work in the North Country. They work down here.
Well, I have a toe. And it just aches every time I put it in my shoes. So I can't come to church today.
Did you go to work on Monday?
Well, yes, I have to make money.
My favorite excuse from a 50-year-old woman.
It was lightning out.
What?
I'm afraid of the lightning.
Would you have gone to work on Monday?
Well, of course, I've got to make money.
You weren't created to work for the world. You were created to work for God. Which means, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might as unto the Lord. If you're a construction worker, you better be the best construction worker because you're working for the King. Come on now. If you're an accountant, you're the best accountant the world has ever seen. Come on now. If you're working as a cashier at Walmart, you are the stinking best. I want to come down your aisle. Can I hear an amen? Because there's people at Walmart. I don't want to go down their aisle. Beep. 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 Run it quicker. Be the best. Be the best. That's how God created you, to be the best. Be the best. Father, we love you. We thank you, Father, that you have called us with purpose and destiny and direction. And God, we refuse to stay at our last level. Lord, we want to move forward so we can fulfill the very purpose of our being on the planet. God, we want to please you with our life. We want to please you with our mind. We want to please you with our soul. God, we want you to look down and say, that's my kid. So, Lord Jesus, if there's anything in our life that is holding us back, we need to surrender. I pray, Lord, that we'll be so willing to run to the altar and surrender it to Christ. If you raise your hand for salvation, you want to, maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you want to give your heart to the Lord. Mindy's right here. And when I dismiss the service, because I'm so late, I'm so sorry, that you'll just make your way up here quickly. Because we want to pray with you. We got a Bible for you. Don't walk out the building. It's your moment. Can I just pray a blessing? Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, next Sunday, we're celebrating your birth, Jesus. And I pray that we will load this house with every friend and every foe. I pray, God, you'll give us a Holy Ghost boldness according to Acts chapter 4. That, Lord, we'll walk up to strangers and say, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know where you're going. But I want to invite you to church with me on Sunday. God, let us all fill our role that we have to simply say there's no more room in the inn. Jesus, we just want to say thank you for the privilege of serving you and the honor of knowing you, to be able to call you Father, that we can be called the children of God. We thank you for today, Jesus. Aspire us, stir us, convict us, move in us, so we will go to our next level in these final days of 2019 in the name of Jesus. And everybody in agreement said, amen. Amen. This has just dropped in my spirit. Some of you need to go and make things right with somebody from 2019 that you have an offense with. You need to go make it right with them and ask them to forgive you. You can't move without that being taken care of. I love you. Have an awesome week. If you raise your hand for salvation, make your way right up front right now, please.